Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Today's Daf is Psachim Kuf Yotes. We're in the middle of the first wide line. Actually, it's six lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Omar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosi. My dichsiv, how do we understand the pasuk Lamanat Seach Mizmer the David? Rashbam explains, if it would say Noit Seach, that indicates that he is winning the other fellow. Laminat Seach indicates that he's allowing the other person to win him over. He's allowing himself to be defeated. Laminat Seach is Lashon Mafil, to cause somebody else to win him over. La minatzeach mizmer leDavid explains the Gemara, Zamru lemi, sing to the one, to Hashem, lemi sheneitzchen oisei v'sameach. Hashem allows others to, so to speak, defeat him, and he's pleased with it, he's happy. He wants that we should do teshuva, that we should get around the Midas Hadin and the Einshim. He wants us to do that. Boire, come take a look. Shaloi ki Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basar Adam, the Midah of Hashem, the mode of operations of Hashem, is so different than the characteristics of a human being. Shaloi ki Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basar Adam. Boss of Adam, in contrast to a human being, when somebody defeats him, he's sad. Avakadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast to Hashem, when they win him over, he's actually happy. Hashem contemplated destroying Klal Yisrael after the Egel. Lulei Moshe Bechiroi, Omad Baperes Lefanov. If not for the fact that Moshe is chosen one, presented himself by parrots at the breach to mend and repair the breach, lefanav before Hashem. The fact that the pasuk refers to Hashem, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Bechiroi, his chosen one, apparently he was actually pleased and happy with the fact that he confronted, so to speak, Hashem, and he mended the parrots and tried to bring forgiveness to Klal Yisrael and annul the gzera that Hashem had in mind to destroy Klal Yisrael. The fact that Hashem relates to him in such a positive way, it shows that he's actually happy, he's praising him, he's happy with the fact that he was successful in being mevatel the gzera. So that's the pshat. La manatzeach mizmor David. David was saying, sing to Hashem who is a minatzeach. He wants the best for us. Although a person is sometimes deserving of an einish, he's asking, he wants us to undo it, to daven, to do tshuva, to be mevatel gzera, and sort of to prevail, to defeat him, so to speak, to undo the gzera which was meant to come. Amar Rav Kahana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya. May dichsiv. How do we understand the pasuk in the beginning of Yecheskel describing the Merkava, the heavenly arrangement, v'idei adam mitachas kanfeim, the hand of a person, the hands of a person in underneath the wings of the malachim. Now, we read it v'idei, which is plural, many hands, but if you take a look at the spelling, yodoi ksiv, the ksiv is actually yodoi, which denotes a single hand. It's the hand of Hashem. Marshall explains it's the right hand of Hashem, which denotes chesed. It says, Yimincha pshuto lekabel shom, your right hand is outstretched to be makabel, to bring back those who repent. So that's the yad yimin, right hand, the stronger. That's the power of chesed. Yodoy ksiv, the hand of Hashem, his right hand, yodoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheprusa tachas kanfei achayis. It's Hashem's right hand which is stretched out underneath the wings of the malachim. What for? Kedei lekabel bali tshuva, to welcome the bali tshuva, miyad midas hadin, in spite of the opposition of the midas hadin, whose job is to be a prosecutor. No, he did something wrong. He should be held accountable. He can't undo it. No, Hashem created the concept of tshuva, the concept of chesed, that he allows a bal tshuva to come back. So he has to dig beneath the malachim. There's a Gemara elsewhere that says that tshuva is a chatir, it's like a tunnel. You have to tunnel beneath the system to get by, to bypass midas hadin. Now the Mesilas Yesharim explains, of course, midas chesed doesn't contravene midas hadin. It's not an outright contradiction. Hashem created both aspects in the world. Din denotes judgment, the way it's meant to be, accountability. And rachmim and chesed allows for leeway. How can both work in tandem? How can you create a system of accountability and just let them bypass the system? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, it's chesed bedin. It's not that I'm ignoring din. Yeah, he's held accountable, but tshuva involves charata, this tsar, this pain that a person goes through when he does tshuva. And that is a mitigating factor that's credited to this person's account and can undo the chet and the einish. Also, we have other mitigating factors. It's the first time. It was a shoyge. He wasn't really fully aware of what he was doing. There are all types of expressions of chesed and rachmanis which allow, even midas hadin allows for some leeway, for some room to maneuver within it. And those are the expressions of chesed and rachman that Hashem does for us. Amar Ravida Marshmul, on to another topic. All the gold and silver which was found in the world at that time, Yosef gathered it, all the gold and silver in the entire world, and brought it to Mitzrayim. They needed to buy his grain. There was a famine throughout the world, so they were forced to bring all their treasures, and Yosef collected them all. Shenema v'yilaket Yosef is kol kesef hanimtza. Yosef collected all the money. And the pasuk concludes, "As kol kesef hanimtza beretz Mitzrayim uberetz Kanaan." Says the Gemara, "Ainly elish beretz Mitzrayim, beretz Kanaan." Perhaps this only applies to the treasures from Mitzrayim, from Kanaan. B'shar rotzis manayin. What about the treasures found throughout the world? Talmud lema v'chol oretz bo Mitzrayim. Everybody came down to Mitzrayim, and everybody's money ended up in Mitzrayim. And what happened to the money? U'shaol Yisrael Mitzrayim helu imayin. When Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they took it along with them. Shenemar vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim. What does this mean? We have two pshat. Ravasi Omar as uho ke mitzuda vayinatzlu. Taisus explains vayinatzlu. The lamed can be exchanged for a dal. We find dal and lamed interchangeable letters. So we learn vayinatzlu as vayinatzdu, like a lashon mitzuda. As uho ke mitzuda zu sheim badavin. They completely emptied out Mitzrayim of all its treasures and all its precious things, all the gold and silver they took along with them, and it was now like a mitzuda, like a trap, a bird trap. Shein bo dagan, with no more grain. You put some grain in that attracts the birds. So this Mitzrayim was now totally bereft of all its riches, and that's what it means by it's not slots Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he had a different shot. So I have a girsa Rabbi Shimon Malakish Omer, Kimetsulo Sheim Badogim. By Naslu is referring to the depths of sea. Kimetsulo Sheim Badogim, where no fish are found there, generally higher up, closer to the surface, where there's oxygen, where there's food. So Mitzrayim was now totally bereft of gold and silver. The Vilna Gaon explains the difference between both pshatim. Mitzulo Sheim Badogim is referring to the present, it was empty. Kimetsuda Zushein Bodagan also had a long-term effect. You know, when the trap no longer has seeds to attract birds, then no birds show up any longer. So Mitzrayim was now emptied of all its treasures and was no longer in a place which attracted business and commerce and was left to falter even for future generations. As today we know, Mitzrayim, the pasuk describes it as Mamlacha. It's empty. But I think Mamlacha Shvela. It's totally collapsed. A collapsed regime. In contrast to the Mitzrayim, and its which was the empire that controlled the world, and look what it is today. Totally destroyed, emptied of all its value. So they took the money along with them, Klal Yisrael, v'yamunach ad Rechavam, and it was sitting until the king Rechavam, one of the Jewish kings. At that point, bo Shishak melech Mitzrayim, Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, came by, and he says, well, this is my national treasure here. V'notlem Rechavam, and he took it away from Rechavam. Shnemar, v'yi b'shana chamishis, la'melech Rechavam, Allah Shishak melech Mitzrayim, al Yishalayim, v'yikach, as Eitzrei Space Hashem, I took all the treasures of Eitzrei Space Hamelach. So now it was back in Mitzrayim, but not for long. Bo Zorach Melach Kush, Zorach the king of Kush, waged war with Mitzrayim. Now the Rashbam explains that the practice, the common practice, was as follows. When they would go to battle, they would take along all the national treasures, which would form an incentive for them to win the war, because if they lose and they flee, they lose their treasure, leaving it behind. So this would give them an additional incentive to win the war. So now the Gemara will list us an entire list of various battles that took place throughout history, in which case the treasures that were brought along to battle ended up in the winner's hands. And that's how they transferred hands so many times. So now they were back in Mitzrayim until Zorach Melech Kush waged battle against Mitzrayim. V'natala Mishishak. He won the war and he took the treasures with him from Shishak. But Asa was a Jewish king, came along, he took it away from Zorach, Melech Kush. V'shigra, but he didn't hold on to it for long. He actually sent it away as a gift. V'shigroi l'adrimon ben tavrimon. He sent the treasures off to this fellow, Adrimon ben tavrimon, was a king of Aram. So now Adrimon ben tavrimon had it. Bo B'nei Ammon came along, they waged war with this fellow, v'notlum me'adrimon ben tadrimon, they took it from him. But Yehoshaphat, a Jewish king, came along, v'notlum b'nei Ammon, and took the treasures from b'nei Ammon. V'yamunach ad Achaz, and it was sitting until Achaz, the king, came along. Now, but Sancheriv, v'notlum Achaz. Sancheriv came and attacked, and he took all the treasures. Now we know there was that great nace that happened that night when the king, when the Malach came along and killed them all out. So that's when the next stage happened. Bo Chizkia, the Jewish king, came along, and Sancheriv and his army was killed out. He went ahead and retrieved the goods. Bo Yemunach HaTzidkin was sitting until Tzidkia came along, and Bo Kazdim attacked him. They came and they took possession of the gold and silver and took it from Tzidkia. Bo Parsim, the next phase was the Parsim, who waged war with the Kazdim, the Persians. They came along and Utlum and Kazdim. It snatched the gold and silver from the Kazdim. At the next step was the Yevanim. Bo Yevanim, the Greeks, Unatlum and Parsim, and took it from the Persians. Bo Roimim, Unatlum and the Yevanim. The Romans waged war with the Greeks and they won. They acquired the treasures. And where are the treasures today? Vadayin Munach Baroim is still sitting today in Rome, somewhere in the vaults beneath the Vatican over there. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Choma Ruchanina, Sholosh Matmonis, Hitman Yosef Mitzrayim. Now, we just discussed that Yosef gathered all the gold and silver, and of course, let's keep in mind, it means the gold and silver that was there, that was in the world up until that time, because certainly today we have more was discovered than mined. In any case, that great volume of gold and silver was hidden, was gathered by Yosef, but he also put away some Matmonis, some hidden savings account. So there were three portions that were hidden as well. Shalosh Matmonis, Hitman Yosef Mitzrayim. Three portions of gold and silver were hidden by Yosef. Achas Nisgala LeKorach. One was discovered by Korach and made him very rich. V'achas Nisgala Taninus Ben Asvirus. One of these three hidden treasures was revealed to Antoninus, who was a Roman Caesar, who actually was a friend of the Yidden. He was friendly with Rabbi HaKadosh. So he discovered one of these matmonies. And the third one, V'achas Knuza, Let tzaddikim la'asid lavi. The third one is reserved for tzaddikim la'asid lavi. The pasuk in Kehelet says, sometimes wealth is not actually too good. It can be to the detriment of its owner. Isher shomer l'alav lira asay. An isher is kept for its owner, but it's lira asay. It's actually not to his benefit. What is an example of that? Omar Reb Shimon Malachish zu ashra shel Korach. Speaking about the riches of Korach, which led him astray, he became a Baal Gaiva and decided to run the show and challenged Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenamar, the pasuk describes them falling into the earth. So they fell in with their belongings. Ve'es kol ha'yikum asher beraglim. What is this referring to? What is the yikum asher beraglim? Omar Blazer, zevamoyne shel adam. We're speaking about a person's money, his wealth, shema'amid al raglav, which enables him to stand on his feet. The fact that the pasuk sees it important to mention that all the yikum of Korach fell to the ground, apparently it was more than just a little bit of money. It was something significant. It was this great wealth that he had, which actually was the cause of his downfall. So we see that the Oishar isn't always something good. It can bring a person to Gava and lead him astray. Omer believe, if you want to know the magnitude of the wealth of Korach, listen to this. Masoi shloish meis predis levonis. Predis levonis are white mules. The Gemara elsewhere tells us, one gets kicked by these mules, it's bad news. These fellows are very strong. So the strong mules were used, 300 needed to be used because they need to carry 300 loads for what? Now actually Rashi says 300 in Shas isn't specifically 300, it just means an exaggerated amount, exaggerated number of mules were needed to carry what? Mafteches beis gnozov shel Korach, just the keys of the beis gnozov of his vaults of Korach. Can you imagine how much gold and silver he had? Vikulu aklidi, all these aklidi are keys, uklifi and these various openers, lock openers, the gilda, Rashi in Sanhedrin says, gilda means they were made of leather, so they were lightweight, and they still weighed so much, there were so many of them. You needed 300 peridas to carry them, you imagine how much wealth he had. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yochanan Rav Yenison. Let's proceed to Halal and explain some psukim. The pasuk says, Oitcha ki anisoni, I thank you Hashem for answering me. Who said that? Omar David, that was David. Hashem, you answered me, you enabled me to become king, you helped me kill Goliath. Some explain anisoni is referring to the hardships, like Inui. At the end of the day, everything's l'toiva. We see the goodness eventually, even if we don't see. Oitcha ki anisoni, thank Hashem for the bitter experiences as well, which have a good purpose. The objective is to be mezachech a person, to lift him, to elevate him, to purify him, to give him kapar. So not only is the result something to thank about, but the process as well, even the difficulties. Oitcha ki anisoni. So that was David. The next pasuk, Even mo'aso aboinim, hoysel erish pina. The stone which the boinim, the builders, mo'aso, they rejected. It's not suitable for building. David HaMelech was the youngest of all brothers. He was a shepherd. They didn't fathom that he would be appointed king. Look what happened. Hoysel erish pina. It became the cornerstone. Look, it's up on top of the building. This is the attraction. Who said that? Omar Yishai, the father of David. My little David, look what happened to him. He rose to such great heights. The next pasuk, Me'is Hashem Ha'is Ha'zois. This was from Hashem. Omru Echav, his brothers, they acknowledged, yeah. Although it came as a surprise to us that David was anointed king, but it came from Hashem. Hashem appointed him. Zeh Ha'yoyim Asa Hashem, Nogila Ben Yismachaboy. Who said that? Omar Shmuel. Shmuel, of course, who was involved in this process, he anointed David. He said that last pasuk. Today is the day that Hashem made. He anointed David as the king of Klal Yisrael. This inaugurated the Malchus based David. And eventually, he's going to brings salvation to Klal Yisrael, Yeshua, he saves them from the Goyim, Nogilo v'nismach aboy, he's going to bring joy and happiness. Ana Hashem Hashiyana, the pasuk continues, Hashem save us, Amru Echav, his brother said it, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, Amar David, Hashem give me Hatzlacha, help me have a successful reign. Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Amar Yishai, when he welcomed Shmuel to the home, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Beirachnuchem Beis Hashem, Amar Shmuel, that was Shmuel responding, yeah, all you in this home should be benched, could be benched to have bracha. Eil Hashem v'yarlonu, Hashem lit up the way, Hashem showed us the right way, Amru Kulan, they all respond, all the brothers, this is from Hashem. Yisru Chag v'avoysim, you should tie up the chag, the korbanos with ropes, and bring it to the Mizbeach, Amar Shmuel, a special day, a day for korbanos, to be besimcha, for Hashem establishing the Malchus Beis David, Keili atavoydeka, Amar David, Hashem, I thank you, Alakai Rameka, Amru Kulan, all the brothers, everybody, joined in, Alakai Rameka. Tanan Asam, we learned in a Mishnah in Sukkah, Malkam Shenagu Lichva Lichpa, in a locale where they have a minhag to double the words, the psukim and halal, to repeat psukim. You know, we have psukim that are repeated, right? Oitcha kenisani, we repeat it. On Hashem Hashem, repeat it. So, if they have a minhag to repeat, fine, yichpel. You meant to repeat. Livshoit, yivshoit. But in a place where the minhag is to just say it one time, fine. Follow the law of the land. Levaruch Achrav, in a place where they had a minhag to add that bracha after halal, Yaluchah Hashem Lekenu, which ends with Baruchat Hashem Melech Mulo Batishpachis. If there's a minhag to do so, Yivaruch, do so. Hakoil Kimina Kamadin. Follow the minhag Amadin. Amar Abai, Leishanu Al Achrav. This that we just said, that the bracha is dependent on the minhag Amokim. It's referring strictly to the bracha after halal, as we just explained. Aval afana. But regarding the bracha which precedes halal, that's universal. Mitzvah levarich. Why? Halal is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The rabban. We make a bracha before we say it. We do a mitzvah. Asher kichad a mitzvah isa. Mitzvah likres halal. The Omar Yudah Mashmol kol a mitzvahs. Mevarich alein. Oyver lasi yasan. We meant to make a bracha before all mitzvahs. Oyver lasi yasan. Prior, in advance to the asiyas ha-mitzvah. That's why the bracha that precedes halal is universal. We do it in all areas, in all locations. My mashma da hay oiver. He used a term which is unique. Oiver las yasan. Where do we find da hay oiver? This word, oiver, lishna da gdumihu, is a way of saying before, in advance. Omar v'nachman bar yitzchok dichsiv. Vayoratz achimatz derech hakikar. Achimatz ran through the kikar, the square, vayavar sakushi, and he preceded the kushi. Apparently, vayavar over denotes advancing. Vayavar mehocha, v'hu avar lefneim, this was Yaakov Avinu standing in front of his family, he passed before them, avar means to advance. Igid amri mehocha, another source, vayavar malkam lefneim, v'ashem b'roisham, we see once again, vayavar means lefneim, in front, before, to advance, to precede. Tanya, Bryce explains like this. We discussed duplicating words of psukim and halal. How's that meant to be done? Tanya, we have two shittas. Rabbi Koifel Badvar. He would duplicate some words. Rashbam explains, from Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, he would recite the psukim in a duplicate manner. He would repeat them. Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, again Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. And so forth, till the end of halal. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Moisef Badvar, he added more. My Moisef, what does it mean he added more? Amar Abaye Moisef Lichpel Me'oitcha Ulamata. He began the duplication process back from Oitcha, as we do today. Oitcha Kenisani, that part, and again Oitcha. Evan Ma'abonim, again Evan Ma'asabonim. Now, what's the point of duplicating, repeating? I saw a beautiful pshat. At this moment, I forget who it is that says it. Halal Shira. You know, that's how you sing a song. twice low, twice high, twice low. You don't just sing it once and move on. A song is something that is meant to involve you emotionally. You have to get emotionally involved in the niggun. So the first take, then another take. Hallel is meant to be recited in a kfelus manner, in a duplicate manner, a repetitive manner. In fact, if you go through Hallel, you see duplication right and left, all over the place. Yivarach HaSpeis Yisrael, Yivarach HaBeisar. You see the Lashonis repeating themselves constantly. However, from Oitcha downward, you don't find duplications. And that's why, Blazim Parta held, you're meant to be Kaifel from that point downward, say the Pasuk, and say it again, and so on and so forth. Continues the Gemara, on to another topic. Dorash Mavira. Ravir presented the following drash. Zimnin, sometimes, Omar Le Mishmei de Rav Ami, is a Gersi here. Sometimes he would say it in the name of Rav Ami, Vizimnin, and sometimes, Omar Le Mishmei de Rav Asi. So what was the drash? My dechsiv, how we meant to learn the pasuk, Vayigdal Hayelad Vayigomel. This was by Yitzchak, when he got older and he stopped nursing. Vayigal means he stopped nursing. Says the Gemara the following drash. Yitzchak is very much connected to Vayigomel. Also the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the future Hashem will make lasis su'udat tzadikim. He's going to make a feast for tzadikim. B'yoyim shi'yigomel chazdoi l'zara shel Yitzchak. On that day, day of the Geula, where Hashem's chesed, we finally ready for it to be offered to us. Yigal means to conclude, to mature. It's going to be ready to be delivered to us. Meaning the time of Geula. Interesting that Klal Yisrael here is referred to as Zara Shel Yitzchak. As we're going to see soon, because Yitzchak Avinu has a special place in this Suda. Let's see. So they had the Suda. Now they're ready for Brichas HaMazon. La'acha she'ochlu oichlu v'shoysin. Ready for Brichas HaMazon. And we're going to have a Kosher Bracha. Who is going to say Brichas HaMazon on behalf of all? Noisn lo'il Avram Avinu. Kosher Bracha. They give the Kosher Bracha to Avram Avinu. He's a grandfather. Levarach. V'omer lahem, but he responds, no. Eini mevarach. I'm not qualified to say the Bracha. She'yatzim men Yishma. Look. Yishmael was born from me. And therefore, I'm not ready for this. Oimrim Leili Yitzchak. Okay. We go down the list. They pass it on to Yitzchak. Toilu Barech. Take the curse. Oimrim Leili. No. Me too. Eini Mevarach. I'm not ready. Shiyotzim Meni Esav. I'm not complete. I'm not Sholem. Esav Arasha was born from me. Oimrim Leili Yaakov. Okay. They proceed to Yaakov. Toilu Barech. You be Mevarach. Oimer lahem, no, me too. Eini mevarach, I can't. Shenasos ishtei achayes v'chayen. Look, I married two sisters in the lifetime of each other, Rachel and Leah. Shasida toir lo yisraelai, which is something that the Torah is going to forbid me to do. Therefore, I'm not roi to make brichas hamazon. Now, the obvious kashir is, so why indeed did he marry two sisters? There are many pshatim. The Rabban says, although we know that Avos kept every nuance of the Torah, as the Gemara Yuma tells us, Avraham Avinu kept even Iruvit Avshilin. But, says the Rabban, that only applied in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chutz Laaretz didn't have the same Adreg of Kedusha, they didn't necessarily keep the mitzvahs. And this marriage to Rachel and Leah took place where in Chutz Laaretz. There's another pshat I saw at the Imois, Rachel and Leah, woman's gayer. And we know that a ger, shen is gayer, is kikotin shen elodami, says, oh, he's born anew. So halachically, there's no relation between Rachel and Leah, they're not sisters. So in Alepshat, they were only sisters from their father's side, which has no significance in Torah, but we follow the mother. So technically, as far as Yiddishkeit, they were not considered sisters. So these are just some of the reasons given for Yaakov Avinu marrying Rachel and Leah. In any case, perhaps out of humility, he says, well, I'm not right. This isn't something, I didn't conform to the standards of Torah, and I can't say Birchas HaMazon. Oimrin lo the Moshe. Fine, they offer it to Moshe. Toile Borech, take the Bechar bench. Oimrin lo, no, Einim Avarach, I'm also not Roy. Shalizachisi Likonis Laris Yisrael. I never was able to, I wasn't Zeche Likonis Laris Yisrael. Loi Bechayev, loi Bemoisi. Not in my lifetime, or even after death. I was buried outside of Yisrael. Oimrin lo, the Yeshua Toile Borech. Okay, now they offer it to Yeshua. I'm also not available. I wasn't zeichet to have a son. The Gemara Ervin tells us it was actually an einish because he withheld Piriviya Ribi from Klal Yisrael for one night, and as a result, his einish was he didn't have a son. He had daughters, but not a son. And on account of that, I'm not complete. I'm not ready for this. The Chsiv, where do we see that he had no son? This is the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which goes through the lineages. The Chsiv, some take out the next three words. Nun b'nai Yeshua b'nai. So the grandfather was, I forget the name there, the grandfather, and his son was Nun b'nai. Nun was a son, and Yeshua b'nai. Yeshua was the son of Nun. And it stops right there. Apparently, Yeshua had no sons. Fine. So now they're down all the way to David, by David HaMelech. Oim rim le David, the toilu b'rech, you take the kais, and please, say brachas hamazon on our behalf. Oymulen ani avarech. I'll proceed to do the bracha of liyin nol avarech, and it's fitting for me to do the bracha shenemar kois yeshuas esa uveshem hashemek. Continues the Mishnah. Ein maftirin achar haPesach afikamin. Let's take a look at the Rashbam here. So it's about two lines down from where we're holding in the Gemara. Masnisin maftirin lashan haniftar mechaverim. One takes leave of his friend. Kaloymar, means to say like this. Kishaneftar min asuda. When we're ready to conclude the suda, this of course is the night of Pesach, ein mesaymen oisa. We don't conclude it, but afikoymen. With afikoymen, ubigumar mefarsh, the Gemara give us the definition. Actually, two pshatim. In the meaning, on the meaning of afikoymen. So again, the Mishnah says, ein maftirin. Now we understand what this means. Ein maftirin, we're not meant to conclude, not meant to bid farewell, conclude the suda achar Pesach, after we ate the korban Pesach. We're not meant to conclude with afi koyman. Says, well, my afi koyman, what exactly is this? Amar Rav, shelo yakru mechabur lechabur. We shouldn't uproot, we shouldn't relocate from one chabur to the other. Let's see the Rashbam again. So it's right after the Mishnah. Gemar, Amar Rav, shelo yakru mechabur lechabur. Says the Rashbam. Acha she'achlu haPesach bechabura. Once he had his korban Pesach in this group, lo yelchu mechabura acheres. Lechel, they shouldn't go over to the next door chabura to join them for dessert. Like pas, leishem davar, whether bread or anything, even dessert. Why? What's wrong with that? Because there is halacha that although you can take the korban Pesach and split it into two, give a half to one chabur, half to the other group. But personally, you must eat your Pesach, must pick a choice, either here or there. You can't begin here and continue elsewhere. And if we allow you to have something in another group, in another location, there's a gzera that you might actually have the Korban Pesach here and also there, which is not allowed. Gzera de ma'asi l'mechel es ha-Pesach v'shnei mekaymus. It might lead him to eat the Pesach in two locations. And that's not allowed. V'anan t'nan stomach Rabbi Yehuda b'ketz etzol. We have a Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah, which follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburis. Yeah, you could take the actual Korban Pesach and split it into two groups. But personally, you can't. You can't do that. You can't have your Pesach in two locations. V'ein o'ichel o'ichel ha'Pesach b'shnei mekaymus. So again, that's the Pshan Rav. Ein maftir achar haPesach avikayim means after you completed your korban Pesach, you finished eating, don't go ahead and add afikayim, some additional achila elsewhere. Don't relocate because, although technically now you're okay because you're not eating Pesach elsewhere, but there's a gzera that this might lead him to have his Pesach in two places. He might go over to the second place and grab another bite from their Pesach. In which case he had his Pesach in two places, which is us. Continues the Rashbam, Vach Musa de Rav. Now this halacha of not allowing one to change locations The Gemara says it's specific to the Sha'as Achila, because that involves a concern. But once he's done eating, for instance, he's holding a halal. Yeah, he can go have his halal elsewhere. In fact, the Gemara there says they had the Pesach inside and the halal up on the roof. That's okay. But again, the concern is not to have achila in two places, because it might lead him to have the Pesach in two places. But once he's done eating, you can relocate and have your halal elsewhere. Continues the Rashbam. Avolechol dvorim achirim b'mkayim in arishin shori rav. But suppose he wants to have a dessert right here. He had his Pesach here. He wants to add a dessert. That's okay. According to Rav, you can have something after the Karban Pesach. That's fine. Uvavash le'yakar lo'echlen mechabur acheres. Provided he doesn't relocate and have his dessert elsewhere. V'haynu de poligalei shmol v'rabi echon. This is in contrast with the upcoming shitas in the Gemara. Shmuel Rabbi Yechon hold that you can't have anything after your Pesach. The taste of the Korban Pesach is meant to remain with you throughout the night. V'amri, they say, kol davar asur le'echol afilu b'chor basar rishona. Even if you're still in the original location, you can't have any dessert after the Korban Pesach. But Rav disagrees. He says, that's okay. You can have something after the Korban Pesach, as long as you don't change locations. Because according to Rav, the concern is strictly one. If you have something in the second location, if you continue eating elsewhere, that might lead him to actually have his Korban Pesach in two locations, which is us. Continues the Gemara. Let's start again from the word Gemara. The third wide line. Gemara, my afikomen. What does the Mishnah mean? You can't have afikomen after Pesach. Amar Rav, shele yakru mechabur lechabur. Don't relocate. Now, how does that fit into the word afikomen? The Rashbam explains, afikomen means afiku manaychu. Come, let's get the manaychu, your dishes. Let's get the dishes out of here. Let's relocate. We have to go elsewhere to eat. And that's not meant to happen after you finish your Korban Pesach. Ushmul Amar, he holds, we're speaking about an entirely different subject here. Eating after the Pesach is not allowed. Period. Kigoyin or delay. He's going to give us examples of desserts. Or delay li. My favorite dessert is types of mushrooms. So that is what afikomen means. Afikomen means bring out. Afiku man, bring out the good stuff. So that cannot take place after Pesach. Ein maftir and achar Pesach. You cannot conclude after the Pesach with afikomen, with dessert. What are examples of dessert? Urdilai li. By me, it's urdilai. That's my favorite. The gozlai la abba. Abba here was a reference to Rav. Rashbam learns his real name was Abba, but they called him Rav and he showed respect. Like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was called Rabbeinu. Rabbi. Rashi actually elsewhere says that it's just the opposite. His name was really Abba. His name was really Rav, but they called him Abba, their chashivas v'kavod. In any case, what was his favorite dessert? Gozlai, pigeons. So these are examples of desserts which are not meant to be brought to the table after the Pesach. Rav Chanina bar Shila, Rav Yochanan, they say, they have other examples of desserts, kigoyin, tamarim, dates, cloyes, roasted grains, vegoizim, or nuts. So the point according to them is that you're not meant to have anything after your Korban Pesach. That's it. Irrelevant of your location. Whether you're there, whether you're here, Pesach is meant to be the last item on your menu. Let's take a look at the Rashbam again. So down at the wide lines, it would be the fifth wide line from the top of the wide lines, the fifth wide line. So Rashbam there says like this. Ulo Rav, hachi mashmul afikomen. Afiku manaychu. Afikomen means afiku manaychu. Bring out the kelim. Haitziu kleichem mekan. Come, let's get the dishes out of here. V'neilch v'neichal makamarchal. Let's go continue our suda elsewhere. According to Rav, changing locations mid meal is asur. Whereas according to Shmuel and the other shita is, that's not the issue. The point is, the Korban Pesach should be the last item on your menu. So even if you're eating here, it's asur. Kigoin or delay li, because lay la'ab. La'ab is la'rav. The Shmuel have a rog lechel b'kinuach suda, k'mein a pitris. Shmuel's favorite dessert were a kmein, a pitri, different types of mushrooms. V'rav rogel lechel achsadosa gazolis. Rav's favorite was gazolis. And that's not meant to happen after the Pesach. V'loshan afikoyman. How does this fit into the word afikoyman? Hoitziu ve'aviu kmeimus mine masika. Bring out the mine masika, the sweets. V'asa shmol amem. Shmuel is coming to tell us like this. Needless to say, that he can't go and relocate and have his dessert elsewhere. You can't even have dessert in your original location. So that the taste should linger. The taste of the Pesach should remain with him. The Chazanish says it's covered a mitzvah. The Rambam sounds like it's meant to be the last thing. It's meant to walk away as the Pesach being the last thing in the Suda. It's meant to leave an impression on you. Pesach is meant to be the grand exit of the meal. That gives chashivas to the mitzvah. That's meant to be the last item on your menu. That's one pshat. Another pshat says to Rashbam, you know why? You shouldn't have anything after the Pesach. The point is, you're meant to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, al-soiva. When you're not overly hungry. Why? It's more respectful. It's royal looking. V'chein kol karbonis. It applies to all karbonis as well. You're meant to have it later on in the meal, not the first thing in a frenzy. K'dechziv l'mashcha l'gdula. The pasuk says the karbonis are meant to be eaten l'mashcha. What does that mean? L'gdula. In a royal fashion. K'derosha malachim oichlam. Calm. At ease. It's meant to be towards the end of the meal, as a sort of a dessert. So since the Pesach is meant to be eaten al ha-soiva, at the end of the meal, we don't even allow dessert to come afterwards. Why? Explains the Ran, because if you allow something after the Pesach, this might lead him to actually rearrange the meal and have the main dish after the Pesach. He won't differentiate. He won't realize that dessert is only dessert. He'll go and eat his Pesach right in the beginning of his meal, reason magdim al mitzvahs, and have his main dish afterwards. In which case, the Pesach will be eaten in a frenzy, in a hurry, in hunger, and it's not derech gedula. Therefore, we don't allow anything after the Korban Pesach, even a dessert. Now, apparently, Rav disagrees with this concept. He holds that just having something, a little something after the Pesach, as long as the Pesach was al asav, you had the main meal, and then the Pesach, just having something a bit after the Pesach won't confuse matters. It's not going to lead him to rearrange his meal. He knows the Pesach is meant to be al asav. Just a little dessert doesn't interfere. It doesn't create the wrong impression. And regarding the first pshat, either he disagrees completely with the concept of the tam Pesach remaining in his mouth, or he holds once again that just having something after the Pesach, it doesn't interfere, it doesn't negate the Pesach. Pesach is the main element of the meal. It's a Pesach meal. And he walks away from the meal, well, I had my Korban Pesach tonight. The fact that he had something a bit afterwards doesn't take away that impression. In any case, Rav disagrees with Shmuel Rav Yechon's concept. He says, as long as you're still home in your original location where you ate your Pesach, you can continue, you can have some dessert. Don't go ahead and relocate and have some food elsewhere, because that might lead him to have his Pesach elsewhere as well, in which case he had his Pesach here and there, which is a problem. According to Shmuel, and according to Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shila, Rabbi Yechonon, the concern is not the relocating aspect. Apparently, they don't hold a Rav Gzera. Once you had your Pesach here and you have your dessert elsewhere, that's not going to it's not going to lead him to actually have the Pesach to Mekoymas. Rather, the concern is straightforward. Don't have anything after the Pesach. The Tam Pesach must linger in his mouth throughout the night. Whereas Rashbam says, the second Pesach is, don't have anything after the Pesach, because next time he might have his Pesach as his first item on his menu. Shaloy ala soiva, he's going to eat it hungrily, which negates the proper procedure of eating the Korban Pesach. Continues the Gemara. Amar Bida Mashmo. We learned in the Mishnah that after the Korban Pesach, you're not meant to have anything. This is a Shmuel sheet. It says, if you the name of Shmuel, I have another chiddush. A maftirin achar matzah afikoyman. Even nowadays, we don't have a Korban Pesach. We eat matzah at the end of the meal. what we call afikoymen. It's kind of amusing because it's not the afikoymen which the Mishnah is referring to. The Mishnah is referring to afikoymen either the way Rav learns, bring out the kelim, or according to Shmuel, a dessert, which is after the Pesach. Here, the matzah that we eat at the end of the meal, that's the shame mitzvah. It's not dessert after the mitzvah. We call it afikoyim because it's the last item on the agenda. It's the last item on the menu. In any case, after that matzah, which the Rashbam explains for us, is l'shem chayva. He's doing it to kind of mitzvah. Because let's remember, the Korban Pesach was last on the menu, last in the meal, ala soiva. And with the Pesach, we have matzah mar, right? Hillel says we wrap it together. Even the Chacham hold that preferably it should be wrapped together. So the matzah that we eat today at the end of the Suda is really a keem of the mitzvah's matzah. And as such, it has the same din as the matzah, the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The time of the matzah must remain in your mouth. So it's a chiddush. Not only the time Pesach, but the time of the matzah as well. Amar Bidam HaShmuel, Eim Aftirin, Achar Matzah Afikoymen. After you had that last portion of matzah, which we call today Afikoymen, you're not meant to be mafter afterwards, you're not meant to conclude afterwards, and add afterwards an Afikoymen, a dessert, because the time matzah must remain with him. Says the Gemara, we have a kash of Ma'al Mishnah on this sheet. Tanan. First, let's just summarize the three sheetahs. Again, Rav holds there's a concern about switching locations mid-meal because even if it's only for dessert, it might lead him to have his Pesach in two locations, which is us. But if you're still in your original location, be my guest, have dessert, no problem. According to Shmuel and the other sheetahs, there's a new halacha here. After Pesach, we're not meant to add anything. Can't eat anything which will erase the time of the Pesach. Or as Rashbam says, because Pesach is meant to be the last item, ala soiva. We have Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol, who adds another item to the list. Even matzah, that last portion of matzah, which is the Shem Mitzvah, is meant to be the last thing that you're going to eat at the Seder night, because the time matzah must remain with him. So now, let's bring a kasha from our Mishnah on this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol. Mishnah says, "Em aftirin, achar Pesach afikoymen, achar Pesach hu deloy." You can have afikoymen after Pesach. Aval achar matzah aftirin. Apparently, when there's no Pesach, such as nowadays, there's no concern with the taste of matzah remaining in one's mouth. You can be mafter. You can have dessert afterwards. Says the Mishnah, "Loy miboyikomer." The Mishnah is simply employing a method of speaking. Needless to say, "Loy miboyikomer, loy miboy achar matzah." Needless to say that after matzah. Needless to say that after matzah, you shouldn't have a dessert. Why? Because it's easy to negate the time of matzah. It's not such a powerful taste. The loy nafesh tamayu. Matzah doesn't have such a strong taste, so certainly you're not meant to follow it with a dessert. Aval achar Pesach, but perhaps after you have the Pesach, the nafesh tamayu, whose taste is powerful and strong, meat has a stronger taste. V'loy matzah yavuri, and perhaps just by having something afterwards, it won't erase that flavor and that taste. And therefore, less lambad, there's no concern with having anything after the Pesach. Kamash Malon. That's why the Mishnah has to stress, even Pesach, which you would think remains with him throughout the night, no, even then, don't have anything afterwards. But certainly, this concept applies to matzah as well. Name a Messiah, perhaps we can have a raya to Rav Yehuda Meshmol from a Bryce. Hasuf Gonen, Vaduv Shonen, is keritin. Now we're speaking about non-chametz, baked goods. So we've gone in donuts formed from using a soft batter, and therefore it's not called lechem. It doesn't qualify as matzah. So it's not chametz, you can eat it on Pesach. But it's not lechem oini. You can't be yotze mitzvah matzah with sufganen due to the fact that it's soft and mushy, like spongy. Vaduv shonen v'is keritin. These are types of sweet goods. Duvshanan, Rashbam says it's fried in oil and honey. In any case, these things are not matzah because it's lechem asher. It's matzah ashira. It has other ingredients which enrich it, and therefore it doesn't qualify as matzah smitzvah. Says the Braisa, we can still eat it, even during the Leil HaSeder. Adam Amalek Kresman, a person could fill himself with it. Provide that he has his kazais of true real matzah all at the end. We see here, you can only have it at the end, because matzah is meant to be the last item on your list. But if you only have this one kazais of matzah, you have a choice when to eat it, at the end of the meal or the beginning. You can't have it at the beginning. Apparently, you meant to have your matzah at the end of the meal, to have the tah matzah remain. Is it right to read the mashmu? No. The Brayis is employing a method of, needless to say, needless to say, that you can have your matzah at the beginning of the meal. Of course, that's even preferred. The kachal tevoin, because he's going to eat it with great appetite. That's even better. It doesn't have to be at the end of the meal. You could eat it at the beginning, and it's even better to do so. The tevoin. Ava b'achroina. That's unnecessary. We don't have to speak about it. Ava b'achroina, but regarding eating at the end, maybe you shouldn't do that. Duma asir l'meichel achil gaz. Perhaps he'll be so full and just stuff himself with this matzah. It's not a proper achil, and he's not going to be yitzir. Emele, perhaps he shouldn't leave it for the end. Kamash malon. The Brice informs us there's no such concern. You can have your kazayis matzah even at the end of the meal. Now the obvious kashir is, didn't we learn in the Mishnah all the way back in the beginning of the perek? Ari psachem samacha mincha loyoychal od mashat hershach. One must refrain from eating erev Pesach in the afternoon, so that he ensures that there's no interference with his appetite. He won't ruin his appetite for the matzah, which is meant to be eaten b'tayavayin, with desire, with appetite. So why are we here? Do we let him fill himself up with sufganin and duvshanin before he gets his matzah? Tosfos says a big difference between when you're involved in the meal itself, in which case you can pace yourself accordingly and leave some room for the matzah which you're anticipating, as opposed to when it's still daytime, when it's still far away, you won't necessarily have the tools to measure things and estimate things properly, in which case he might actually lose his appetite. But in any case, we have no raya from the Braisa. Tervida Mashmo tells us that matzah is meant to be the last item on one's menu. Good time for a brief chazara. We learned that Hashem actually wants a person to do tshuva, and he created a system in which case we can bypass the Midas Hadin. We learned about the gold and silver, which came from the entire world over to Mitzrayim, and then made its rounds throughout the world, throughout different points of history. We learned about the meaning of the Psukim and Halal, which was said by Shmuel, Yishai, David, and the brothers. We learned about the bracha which precedes Halal. That's agreed upon by all. It's a bracha samitzvahs. The bracha following Halal depends on the minig hamakom. We learned about the kfeila and how the duplication element within Halal, which is a shira, which you sing over and over. We learned about the pshat and the pasuk. Vayigdal hayelad vayigamal. It's referring to the suda that Hashem is going to make for the tzaddikim on that day, that he's going to give chesed lezara shel Yitzchak. And Mashal explains why our Klai Yisrael referred to as zara shel Yitzchak instead of Zakah shel Yaakov. He brings the Gemara on Shabbos. Hashem will sort of complain about Klai Yisrael. The only one that put up a proper defense on Klai Yisrael was Yitzchak, and that's why we are referred to as zara shel Yitzchak here. And ultimately, David HaMelech was the one who said Berachas HaMazon. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach Afikomen. Now meant to conclude after your Pesach with Afikomen. Rav learns, don't relocate, because it might lead a person to have his Karban Pesach in two locations, which is not allowed. According to Shmuel and the other Shittos, the Mishnah meant, don't have Afikomen, don't bring out the sweets and the desserts once you had your Pesach, because Pesach is meant to be the last thing on the menu. We have a chiddush from Rav Yehuda ben Shmuel that this halacha applies to matzah as well. Kol tov and lots of atzlacha.